Hello and welcome to this new episode of Daughters of Narcissistic Mothers podcast. I'm Mathilde and I'm your host. I'm an inner transformation mentor supporting women in healing mother wounds through the 1-on-1 10 weeks program and through Reclaim Your Fullness online community. To know more about these offerings, sign up to the newsletter or visit the website womenreclaimingtheirfullness.me. All the links are in the description of this episode. So today I want to start by asking you, have you come to realize you have no life separate from your mother? Are you feeling guilty anytime you do something for yourself or spend time away from her? Do you feel the need to fix whatever is making your mother upset? These are signs of what is called enmeshment in relationship, and today we're of course talking about what it means to be in an enmeshed mother-daughter relationship. Maybe you are familiar with the term, or maybe you are hearing it for the first time. So today I'm going to share the main signs of an enmeshed mother-daughter relationship, where it comes from, and some steps to support you in reclaiming your life and identity. An enmeshed mother-daughter relationship is a codependent relationship between mother and daughter. It's important to note that it is very natural for a child to depend on her mother, on their mother, but not the other way around. In the case of an enmeshed mother-daughter relationship, the mother is also dependent on the child for something she lacks and she needs to get. In the case of narcissistic mothers, the mother often depends on the child for emotional regulation. She doesn't have the tools to deal with her own emotionality. Her nervous system is all over the place, likely coming from a traumatic childhood, and so she uses the child as her regulator. Often an enmeshed mother-daughter relationship can seem like a very deeply bonded one, a great one even. And for a very long time, before ever realizing what enmeshment was, what maternal narcissism was, what a toxic mother-daughter relationship was, I thought I had the best relationship with my mother. And with this, I just want to point out for a moment that there's nothing wrong or toxic in having a good relationship with your mother and to be very close now that you're an adult. The thing is, when the closeness comes from a place of guilt and anxiety and that you feel there are rules as to how you should behave and should be in order to be a good daughter, and so that you should be close to your mother in order to be a good daughter, that you should do the things that she wants, that you should not have your own taste and opinion and stuff in order to please her. So that's where it starts getting we're moving from a good relationship with your mother to an enmeshed and unhealthy relationship with your mother. So it's really, really important to say that. So as I was saying, I thought I had a great relationship with my mother. We talked about everything. She told me everything about her, even when I was a small child. We seemed to be in sync emotionally, even when apart. So we felt the same. We had the same taste in things. We agreed a lot. I, of course, worried for her if she was not okay and did everything to make sure she was. I even got the same pain she did, like if her shoulder hurt, mine would hurt too, even when we were living in two different countries. A wonderful relationship on the surface, because I didn't know what all of it was actually based on. It was based on me having absolutely no separate identity from my mother's, none at all. Separation was torture. Guilt and anxiety were an omnipresent part of it all. Unless I was with her and doing what I knew would make her feel good and happy, then I felt satisfied. If I did what made her happy, that gave me a sense of satisfaction and fulfillment. Being close to your mother is not toxic in itself. One can have a wonderful mother-daughter relationship and be also very grounded in their identity. But in the case of a toxic mother-daughter relationship, which is the case with narcissistic mothers, in the case of an enmeshed relationship, There is no separation between the mother's and the child's identity. The child doesn't get to be their own person and can't know their authentic self, which is a very, very, very painful experience in life, not being able to be your authentic self. So let's go through the signs of enmeshment in the mother-daughter relationship. Number one, you feel the need to talk to your mother every day, even multiple times a day, and if you don't do that, guilt and anxiety kick in strong. Number two, you run every decision by her. Her opinion is the main one that counts in your life. Even when you already know she won't agree with you, you still feel the need to run everything by her, feeling like a bad daughter if you don't. You often say, "Let me just ask my mother," even when it is not about her at all. Number three, her needs come first, always. You are ready to drop everything you're doing to go to her if she needs. Number four, her emotionality becomes yours. You feel what she feels, you assume you always know what she needs to feel better, and if you don't do those things again, you feel guilty. Number five, you feel responsible for everything in her life. You need to fix what is not working well for her, and you being a good person is defined by how well she is. Number six, rather than have alone time doing something for you, you go visit your mother, often at the cost of the things that you would like to do. You may be at the point that you don't even consider the option of doing something for yourself, and as soon as you're free, the first thought that comes to mind is to go see your mother. Number seven, you tell her everything about you. You have no secrets for your mother, because if you do, you feel guilty, and you also feel like you've done something wrong, and you know that when she finds out, she's going to have a massive reaction. In the same way, you also have no privacy. So she may be the case that she used to come into your room, look into your stuff as if it was her own. And she may still be doing this in your house now that you're an adult. Number eight, you have listened to her emotional issues since a very young age, and you still do. You're the shoulder she cries on, the one she can always count on. Number nine, you often say your mother is your best friend or like a sister to you, and others say that about you and your mother when they see you together. Number 10, people comment often on how alike your mother and you are. Not just the appearance, which can be fairly natural. As a teenager, I did look like my mother a lot. So we were always told that we looked alike, but there were features that we shared and still do. But also when it's like by the way you dress, act, and speak, when those things are like your mother, so it's your entire behavior that makes you look like her even more, because you are molded to be like her. Which was definitely true for me. Number 11, when asked what you need, you don't even know, because your needs have never had priority. There has never been a moment where your mother actually asked you, "What do you need?" Number 12, you feel responsible not only for her emotional well-being, but also for her financial situation. So does any of that sound familiar? There may be other things that start coming up to your mind that I haven't mentioned here. These are the main signs. So share your experience in the comments, and as this really helps others to understand their experience better too. Especially if it's something that I haven't mentioned, you're totally welcome to do that. So how did we end up so enmeshed with our mothers? First of all, as always, because I really mean it, none of it is your fault, and you have done nothing wrong in any of this. That's really, really important. Narcissistic mothers train their daughters this way to get their needs met. So here, let's go through where this comes from. So a narcissistic mother believes her child belongs to her. that her child is an extension of her, and that because of this, she's entitled to her child being responsible for her. She's entitled to get her needs met by her child. A narcissistic mother uses her child to emotionally regulate, as we said, meaning, for example, if she was stressed or frustrated for work and she has no idea how to regulate, she lives in blame and shame, and it's all very unconscious. She would come home and maybe blame the child or shout at the child in order to feel better. There is like coming home, and maybe there is like the child has left the room untidy or whatever, and that immediate dumping of that emotionality on the child in a way that is super out of proportion, extremely shaming, and of course traumatizing, regulates the mother nervous system. She now doesn't feel that discomfort of frustration and stress or whatever that she was experiencing. So that's how, that's one example. There's like so many nuances to this and so many ways this can play out, but it's just to give you an example. Or for another example could be the mother has had something that has hurt her, so she could feel sad, she could feel grief, she could feel whatever uncomfortable emotions that make her cry or feel alone or all of that, and that the regulation come from having the child close to her, you know, come to me, give mommy a hug so she will feel better. That's actually a terrible thing to say to a child. Give mommy a hug so she will feel better. And we like how many times this happens. I hear it all the time when I'm going around, and I've had that very much in my own family still today. I know when I'm ringing home, it's like, you always make me feel so, not my mother because I'm not talking to her, but with my grandparents, you make me feel so good when you call, you are the person that makes me feel better and all of that. Now I'm a full-on adult and I also have a lot of tools to deal with this and I understand the mechanism, but when I didn't, that conditioning from childhood is really unhealthy. So we learn to be the one to console her and comfort her. We learn to be this hypersensitive, well, hypersensitive is not actually the right word, hypervigilant to her own emotional state, so that we're constantly there to do whatever it is that she needs from us. A narcissistic mother tells you how to be and not to be. Being an extension of her, what you do or don't do, so even as a child, what you did or didn't do as a child reflected on her. So your behavior and choices became a reflection of what she approved of, and here it's how she shapes you into what she wants and needs. A narcissistic mother doesn't allow boundaries nor anger, which is the emotion behind boundaries. So if you wanted your space to do your things, you were a bad daughter. If you have secrets, because they were not secrets because you wanted to keep secrets, because they were just private things that for you were important to keep private, then you were a bad daughter. So again, the lack of boundaries that we feel now comes from there. And then a narcissistic mother is in competition with her daughter, so she will make your successes her own. And also, you might have learned not to be better than her and to follow what she liked, so there would be no conflict. That was something I have done for such a long time, and it's still a pattern that I need to very much be aware of, and it does creep up on me still quite a bit, is this feeling that I'm doing something wrong if I'm doing anything different or better than how my mother would have done it. And that's a big deal, because, I mean, we walk on the shoulders of those before us. I mean, it's actually a very natural thing to be better than your mother. It's what you'd want as a mother, actually, that you're looking at your child. Like, I know I don't know, I do say that to my daughters all the time. It's like I cook to a point. It's not my passion by no means, but I am delighted that they're better cooks than me. Like if they're coming to me and they go, "Oh mom, what you did with that, that was not very nice, but you could have done this other way and it would have come better." Well, that's great. I'm learning something. It's not an issue that's coming from my daughter. And the same, I mean, I hope they'll have better relationships than I've had. But in the case of a narcissistic mother, when you're doing something better, that is taken by her as a personal assault to her own being, to her own perfection. And so she can't have that. So those are the reasons, the dynamics and the mechanisms at the base of how we end up not having our own identity and completely get 100% in this weird bonded enmeshed relationship with our mother. Because the result of all of these things that I just mentioned is that you never got a chance to develop your identity separate from your mother as it would have been natural. You might not know who you are without her. You might have no idea what your needs are or how to express them. You may not have any idea how to set a boundary for yourself, not just with your mother, but in life in general. You may have no idea what you like or don't like. And most of all, you may feel relationships are essentially based on guilt and obligation because that is what you've learned with your mother. You may be frustrated and wanting her to let you go, let you live your life, see you as an independent adult. The thing is, she likely never will. She will not liberate you or ever see you as independent because it doesn't suit her. She depends on you emotionally and it would require some deep, deep work on her side to realize that. So it is up to you to liberate yourself and to break free. And this is very empowering too. And I know the inner child is wanting her to see us, validate us. That part of you may really want your mother to give you that seal of approval, tell you, "You know what, my love, you're an adult now. I can see that. I can see how much you've grown. I can see the beautiful person you've become. And I can see that you are liberated and have the right to live your life on your term." That would be wonderful. We've done lots of different things with my mother. At one point, actually, a very dear mentor of mine, which was a very important second mother figure in my life, organized a full-on ceremony because I was about to get married, and it was about my mother letting go of me. It was about cutting the umbilical cord and becoming an adult. I was 23 at the time, so definitely an adult. So even after this entire ceremony, like, that had a beautiful meaning and a lot of stuff, and I'm sure it actually started some processes for me, but still we were enmeshed for over a decade after that, very much so. So it's really like my mother's behavior after that event did not change one bit. So it's up to you to liberate yourself. You are the one that can break free. And I get it that it's easier said than done. I really do. Like, it's actually one of the reasons for me personally, beyond her really toxic behavior, that I have needed the no contact, because I was so enmeshed that I found it really challenging to get the boundaries and the space in place without, like, we continue contact. That for me was very, very difficult. This need to become my own person was a part of the reason for no contact. So, and I'm not saying that you have to do that. I'm not suggesting that as a system or as a way to individuate, which is how we repair this. It's just I'm sharing that was what actually I felt I needed. So let's go into what you can do. What can you do to start separating from your mother and begin to develop your own identity? This process is called individuating. What can you do to do that? So first, number one, I'm going to give you 7 steps that you can take. Number one is becoming aware of this toxic dynamic, which is what you're doing right now. And maybe you were aware of it from before. So it is not natural for a mother to be so completely dependent on her child to never give them space to be themselves. It simply is not. That is not part of the natural development of a child at all, at all, at all. So once you become aware of this, this is the first step. Second, let the part of you that feels bad about wanting distance know that you're not responsible for your mother's emotions and that you're not a bad daughter for wanting your own life. And I know, again, you can go, yeah, well, but I sort of know that, but still all these patterns come up, and I get it for sure. Knowing it is not enough, but it is also true that if you can remind yourself of that often, so that that part of you that's like grown up and that has, you know, we've done the episode on inner mother energy, that mother energy that can be kind and compassionate and see the parts of you that want to jump into the role of going to your mother and do all the things that we spoke about and feels bad if she doesn't do that, the other part can see that and say, that's okay. It's okay that you feel like that. All of that came from the conditioning you've received. And it's okay, but it's also true that you're not responsible for your mother and you're not a bad daughter. That reminder can be, when it's a conscious choice, you consciously choose to remind that, you write it around the house, you journal about it, you start making it your own and you start absorbing it, that is going to support you. Number 3, practice reducing time spent together with your mother and the phone calls. This does not mean go no contact, but if you are visiting your mother every day, if you are calling her multiple times a day, you can practice bringing it down a notch. A little bit at the time. You don't have to go from 0 to 100 if that causes a lot of unease for you, but practicing reducing the amount of time, and as you reduce the amount of time, you start introducing things that are for you. So instead of going visiting your mother every day, start putting in moments in your day where you actually do something for yourself. So instead of doing that today, I'm gonna go and do this thing for myself. You know, if you put together the time of multiple phone calls every day with your mother, and of course we're talking also about situations. There can be some of you that say, yeah, but my mother is ill or is elderly and there's like reasons why, practical reasons why I have to do that. That's a whole different story. And you can look into the episode of caretaking for your narcissistic mother, and there's a bunch of other stuff that we can talk about on that specific topic. Here I'm talking about a situation, my mother wasn't ill. Well, she had always reasons to be upset, but she was living her own life and she was perfectly fine ultimately. And yet I needed to be there and call her all the time and visit as much as possible. If she came to visit, my life stopped. I remember being told that by my dad at the time. It's like you're a completely different person when your mother comes visit and you stop living. So if she came down for a week or 2 weeks from Ireland to Italy, I would stop living and I would only function in relation to what she was doing, waiting for her to make decisions on the day so that then I would just mold my day to her. So that's what I'm talking about. When we start reducing that time dedicated to her and start introducing things that are actually for you, that's a step. The fourth thing is practice doing things for you without sharing it all with your mother. And again, this is not about keeping secrets, because you're doing something bad, but you don't need her approval, permission, or to tell her everything. And it's okay to have a bath without telling your mother. And I'm being ridiculous. It sounds ridiculous, but it's not. And if you are in that really super deep and mesh situation with your mother, you may actually be nodding and going, yeah, well, yep, I actually do tell her. Because I did. I used to tell her that. Like, I used to tell her everything. Things that there's really no need to share. It actually doesn't deepen the relationship. It doesn't serve any purpose. It's only coming from that place of feeling compelled to do so because you need to and because otherwise you're a bad person. So practice doing things for yourself without the need to share it or to share all the details at the very least with your mother. Number five, is important to learn to regulate without having to run to your mother anytime you feel upset or guilty. Or so when that guilt kicks in, when the anxiety, because maybe you haven't called her. So when you start taking these steps, you start practicing reducing time spent together. You start practicing doing things for you without the need to share in the whole lot. There's going to be emotions that will kick up. Actually, that's going to be, if you want, a good sign. It means you are doing these things for yourself, because that the automatic sort of response of guilt will come up. Fear, anxiety can come up. That sort of rooted in the shame of feeling like you're a bad person or a bad daughter because of how you're behaving. So it's important to learn to regulate, because otherwise you're practicing something that's helpful for you, but the minute that this really uncomfortable emotion come up, you're going to give in and you're going to run back to the same pattern to stop the discomfort of these emotions. So when you learn to regulate and you learn to process and you learn to move, you know, these waves of emotions can move through you, but you don't need to act out of them, then you're going to be more empowered and able to navigate that, and they will decrease in intensity the more you practice this. It's not going to always be that uncomfortable, but there is a phase where you have to sort of hold tight and learn to navigate those emotions, and learning tools for that is very important. Number six, that kind of is tied with that, is sort of like a reframe on guilt, on that guilt and anxiety that can come up when you start doing things for yourself, is learning to celebrate when they come up. Not because you want to stay in that state and cultivate it, of course, but because it's a sign that you've actually taken a step that is for you, that you are beginning to become your own person. And that guilt and that anxiety is nothing but the protective part of you that just wants to let you know when you try to be your own person, then you get hurt because your mother does this, that, the other, and she gets really upset or whatever. So those emotions come up because those parts that want to keep you safe within that dysfunctional relationship want to protect you. So that's why I'm saying we don't celebrate guilt in the sense that we want to stay in the feeling of guilt, but it's instead of feeling, oh, I'm feeling guilty, so I'm doing something wrong, maybe I haven't learned anything and all of that, it's actually, oh, okay, I've just set a really strong boundary and guilt came up. It means that must have been a real boundary. Because if it was just a mild kind of comfortable thing that didn't stretch you at all, that'd be no guilt. Especially at the beginning. Especially when you start. Of course, as I said, this guilt and anxiety actually don't remain with that intensity. I don't feel that same intensity of guilt now when I set a boundary that I used to feel like years ago. But when I set a new one that's a stretch, maybe that I've never set before, well, then I can feel that pang and I'm like, ooh, Oh, okay. I went another level here. Okay. Interesting. So that's what I mean by learning to celebrate the guilt. And then the last step is practice setting boundaries. So if you, maybe you're not the one that calls your mother every day, or maybe you are, but if you don't call her every day, then she starts calling you every day. And you actually want to have a phone call every second or third day now, because you're practicing creating that bit of distance, that bit of space. Well, then you set a boundary and you can say that. You can say that that's how you're going to go about it, and that's your decision. And that you are not going to answer if she's calling you every day. And you're perfectly fine to do so. So beginning to set boundaries is really, really important. And if you haven't yet, you can download the free roadmap to boundary setting, which is an amazing tool to support you in setting boundaries, to actually craft your boundary, how you're going to phrase it, the parts of it, what you need to say in a boundary and what is better not to say in a boundary, what makes it a boundary and what doesn't. So that's all in the free roadmap to boundary setting, and you can download it. The link is in the description of this episode. So that was a big episode. I hope this gave you some clarity on what an enmeshed mother-daughter relationship is and on the steps that you can start taking from today to support yourself in coming out of it. Of course, I didn't put it there, but that's really, really important. If you feel the need for support, it's a really courageous thing to ask for help with this. It can be quite an intense journey to take on by yourself, because there's going to be tons of blind spots, as in there's going to be a lot of things that you're not aware you're even doing that are parts of this enmeshment with your mother. And so having someone like a therapist, a practitioner, a mentor, a coach, whatever, that supports you through this, it's can be very, very, very important and can make a huge difference. So reach out to someone. You know, with me, you have the one-on-one 10 weeks program, which can be very helpful to sort through such a type of relationship. And also, if it's not here, if it's not with me, that's okay. But the invitation is to definitely reach out to someone that can support you with this, with the intention of bringing forward your own identity and create a separation between yourself and your mother, which is very, very natural. And again, it doesn't mean you need to break apart and never be together again. You don't need to go no contact necessarily, but a healthy separation is important. Individuating, it's very important for you to have your own identity, and then from there have a beautiful relationship with your mother, but from your place of grounded self, not from this mess of not knowing where you start and she ends, and all of that, which is the experience when you have an enmeshed mother-daughter relationship. So with that, I'm gonna send you lots of love and wish you a wonderful week. Bye for now.